Faithful Radio is pleased to present Church of the Masses with award-winning Catholic columnist, screenwriter, and media consultant, Barbara Nicolosi.
Well, hello, and welcome to Church of the Masses. It's very exciting to me to finally be doing a show like this, and I'm so honored that Terry Barber and the guys here, the people here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio have invited me to do this. It's been a dream of mine for a number of years. We had a short, like 4 or 5 months that we did an internet radio show a few years back, and that was a really fun experience, but we just couldn't keep it going at the time. My schedule was just too crazy. So I'm really glad that now we have the moment, the opportunity, and the fact that the station is very close to where I live, so I can just bebop down here after school and make this happen. So I want to thank everybody who's made this possible, especially Terry Barber and my producer, Hannah Hall, who is one of my former students from Azusa Pacific, and she's doing all the work behind the scenes to make this happen. So I thought, you know, by way of a little bit of introduction before we get into the main meat of the show, it's the 20th anniversary of John Paul II's important document, The Letter to Artists. If you haven't read it, check it out. It's all about why we need the arts in the church and what they mean for us spiritually, as well as in terms of appreciating our liturgy more and appreciating, you know, the whole life of being a disciple in the contemporary moment. So it's kind of auspicious, I think, to be starting Church of the Masses Radio in the 20th anniversary of the Letter to Artists. I think I'm doing my little part to address what the Holy Father, St. John Paul II, called for by way of the church really trying to engage the culture instead of standing outside it and always just critiquing it. Then, too, this is the 20th anniversary of a little program called Act One, which I helped found 20 years ago, 1999. We started on the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. I was very graced and honored to be part of what has made a difference in the lives of literally hundreds of young people trying to start out in Hollywood, people who are believers. It's an amazing network now. It's over maybe 1,200 people strong, and including the faculty, probably closer to 2,000. This is, the 20th year. So they train writers and producers and now directors for mainstream careers in the entertainment industry. And there's a lot of them out there in all aspects of this industry. And so if you're interested in joining our legions, check out act1program.com, but it's just very cool that this is also the 20th anniversary of that, and they are taking their applications for their summer programs now. I'm always going to do a pitch for it because I'm the founder of the program, and even though I've turned it over, it's still very much in my heart. So I thought what we could do here is just talk a little bit about what this show is going to be by way of introduction. Huh? So first of all, the title, Church of the Masses, what does that mean? It was something someone sent me years ago, which was a quote of a 1930s theater critic who said, "Theaters are the new church of the masses. They are places where people sit in the dark and listen to people in the light tell them what it is to be human." I think that that's very true today. I think that people depend on whatever's coming through the screens today to tell them what is important in life, what is meaningful, what matters, what side they should be on, what they should think about things. And so the church needs to have her voice in that conversation. She needs to be communicating through the Church of the Masses to the masses. So it's always been my thing. I had a blog called Church of the Masses, and at over 1 million hits on the blog at a certain point. Mainly people would tune in to read my movie reviews. So people have been asking me for a long time to get back to movie reviewing, and I can never seem to find the time, but here now we are going to have the time. So it's going to be one of the things we do here. My aim in this show is to spread some hope in the church as regards media and culture, and I know that is a tall order. in this day where it seems like the church is mainly the prey of the media and the culture. What can we do? How can we change the way we think so that we can then change the impact that we're having? So I think what I want to do is try to reverse our course as a community. It seems to me very much that the strategy or the unstrategy, it's just the posture we've fallen into in the church since the sexual revolution has been one of either shunning the culture, trying to block it out, and then critiquing it from the, as I said, from outside, the looking through the window, from way outside. When we do make media, we make it not with any sense of the power and of the art forms that they offer. Very often we do it on the cheap, we do it on the quick, and we don't do it really with any kind of consideration to what excellence and beauty would look like. So these are things that this is my pulpit and the people of God is to say we can do better. We can do better than just criticizing and critiquing from the outside. We can make some beautiful things, and we need to. This strategy of 50 or 60 years of basically nodding, you know, folding our arms and nodding our head and then putting our hands over our ears is not working. It's just the room is just getting closed in around us more. So there's still time for the church to assert herself in this hour through media and culture. And I'm particularly strong on storytelling. I think that the human heart will always respond to a good story. And so there's never been a more needy hour for some geniuses of story in the church than now. And so please join me in praying for that. But anyway, one of the things I'm going to do is try to encourage this audience to take up their pens, to take up their cameras, to take up whatever medium they might have by presenting the work of people who are doing it. So we're going to interview filmmakers and actors and artists and photographers and directors and writers and people who are using their gifts as God has given them to try to make a difference for the church and the world. So that's going to be one thing that we're going to do through this show. Another thing I'm going to be doing is reviews. This is what I'm known for, and being very hard on ugly media. And, you know, somebody said to me once about me and Christian media, you hate everything. And I don't hate everything. I just hate a lot of what Christians do right now in that passes for movies. And I just think we have to hold the bar higher. I think we can do better. Right now, Christian media tends to be the scorn of the industry, and not because of our content, mainly because of our style. I think we have to get over that. We have to offer them something more beautiful. That'll be something else we'll be doing, is looking at movies that work, also to help you. Take your kids to this weekend. This is something worth supporting, or this is something for you to avoid. If your teenager says they want to go see this, run for your life and say no. This is something great on Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix that maybe you missed. There's so much out there now, and maybe we can help point you to some good stuff. Hopefully also you could get a sense of what I think is good stuff from a book that I wrote called Notes to Screenwriters. It's on Amazon, and all the ways that I critique movies and story kind of find in there pretty much. So check it out. You can order that anytime. Finally, I think I'm going to do something called, you know, Barbara's Talking Memoirs. People have been asking me for many years now to write a book about some of my weird life's experiences, my journey from Rhode Island, family in Newport, Rhode Island, to the convent, to Hollywood, and then into academia in the doctoral world. I'm not sure I'm ever going to get to write a memoir, so I thought it would be fun, though, for posterity's sake, to share some of the stories of that have happened to me in these last, especially 22 years, but even beyond that in my convent days, and what God has taught me through them. So hopefully stay tuned for spicy bits about some famous people and really weird stories about all the ways I've seen Christians do media wrong in my time here in Hollywood. So And hopefully I will remember to not mention names. But anyway, finally, we're going to be talking about any news that is of interest to people who are watching the signs of the times in the area of media culture and media and culture. And this week, there is no bigger sign of the times than the movie Unplanned and the surprise, kind of shocking to the industry, success of Unplanned at the box office. More about that in a couple minutes. But yeah, maybe just another few things here. You know, quickly, why should you listen to this to me? Why should you listen to this woman who's talking about movies? I know, maybe because I had a great books education that exposed me to the big ideas. I went to a school called Magdalen College, which is now Northeast Catholic College. Then I went to Northwestern to a very top film program for my master's, and finally capped it off with a doctorate in creative writing from a rather elite program at this antiquitous Bath Spa University in the UK. You might listen to me because of all that, or maybe because I was a member of the Daughters of St. Paul, a religious community in the church dedicated to media, praying for people in media and making media. You might listen to me because I spent 22 years now as part of the Christian community of Hollywood. I'm a member of the Writers Guild of America, which is the union for screenwriters. I've written screenplays and documentaries and shorts, and I've done coverage on screenplays, and I've been a script consultant. You might listen to me for all of that, huh? Or you might just listen to me because you're curious. Any of those will do. We'll see you soon. I'm back.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Church of the Masses with Barbara Nicolosi.
Hello again, and welcome back to Church of the Masses, our radio show. It's our first premiere episode today, and we're very happy to be spending it with you. Thanks for tuning in on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network. So I thought we really should just jump right in to the big news of the week, which has to do with the movie Unplanned. This is, I think, in many senses, very much something that the whole industry has been unplanned for the whole industry, the impact of this film. You know, it's funny because it seems to me so much of the story of Unplanned is the story that we've seen many times in church history of the devil biting his own tail, as my mother would say. I think many things that hell intended for wickedness and evil for this movie have been flipped on their head, and now we see an amazing sign of God's power. So I think the interesting thing about the movie is how it has become a story in itself beyond just the movie. Some people are talking about the movie. There are some reviews out there, but we've been talking for the last couple of weeks in the church, especially on Christian social media, because it's pretty much the only place we can talk about it, is all the stories related to the bigger story of the movie release. So we've seen stories, for example, of Twitter turning off the Unplanned feed on the day of the movie's open. How bizarre, huh? And then having a deluge of people send Jack at Twitter, you know, outraged messages. How dare you do this transparently wicked thing to try to shut off awareness of this movie? And so, you know, we found also then that there have been nasty political rants masquerading as reviews out there. And the worst one has to be Variety's Owen Gleiberman's coverage. I mean, it was just this terrible distortion using his agenda as a pro-choice person and, you know, not giving really any information about the movie in a movie review. But we've seen several of these. Then there's all the stories that we saw before about how the movie got an R rating. You know, whether it deserved it or not. And so, I say all of these spate of stories about how the media industrial complex has been trying to suppress the movie and how it's ended up kind of biting them in the back because the movie had an unprecedented, huge opening. And here to talk about that with us is one of the producers. I'm so thrilled to have Daryl Lefebvre here on the phone. I've never actually met Daryl, but he's one of the producers of Unplanned, and he produced last year a very successful movie, I Can Only Imagine, which I know many of you enjoyed. Let's get some inside scoop from Daryl about the whole marketing side of this movie. Daryl, welcome.
Hello. Hi there. Yeah, glad to be on. Thank you.
Yes, we have a mutual friend in Mark Joseph and other people, Carrie and Chuck. And so congratulations on the opening of this movie. Wow, what a surprise, huh?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I got some Navy helicopters flying right over my head just to see what's going on here.
Something unplanned here going on.
Yeah, exactly. I actually thought it'd be quieter outside because there's so many people inside. So I've always stepped outside where it's nice and quiet. But we came in fourth this weekend, which is amazing. And even the Monday and Tuesday so far has been really, really outstanding. So we're thrilled that both just the number of people that are going to see it, but the impact it's having as well. Just the responses all over the country has been so encouraging. So
sure,
yeah,
you know, Daryl, I mean, you got to know when you sign on to a movie called Unplanned that there's going to be a whole lot of things that you don't see going to happen. It seems to me, and how much of this weird stuff? So all this weird kind of opposition from the mainstream media. Ended up in the end kind of just expanding, it seems to me, the conversation about the story, especially with believers, kind of making them a little bit outraged over what was going on. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, it started with the R rating, and you're right. At first, when I first heard about it, I was really kind of depressed about it. I was like, really? Like, we set out to make a PG-13 film. We set out to make a film that, you know, parents would want to take their teenagers to go see so they could then have an honest conversation about abortion and what it really is. And so we set out to do that. And then, you know, when the R rating came down, it was a little frustrating, but then, you know, it actually turned into almost immediately the responses on our Facebook pages were like, well, I guess this is the first R rated movie I'm taking my kids to see.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of The Passion in a similar way. Like I remember when it got the R rating, you know, for The Passion, and people were like, oh no, no one's going to go see it now. You know, no Christians are going to go see it. And lo and behold, you know, biggest religious film ever.
It did okay.
Yeah.
No, we've had a lot of comparisons to that. And ours, you know, I mean, really, I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, Pimple Poppers or Botched, but there's a lot more R-rated stuff going on that than what's in our film. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's, yes, there's some blood. Yes, there's, you know, some intense scenes, but it certainly doesn't deserve an R rating from my perspective anyway, given the PG-13 movies that I've gone to see.
Sure. So, I mean, I think comparatively, you're right. Although, I mean, for me personally, I was, you know, horrified to watch the abortion in the movie. But, you know, that's because for me, that's a human being. And to watch it, it was awful, but I needed to see it. You know, I think we all do. America needs to see what is going on. And we're all, you know, kind of like Abby in the movie, nobody's walking through that back door and looking at what's going on. And I think this movie takes us through, you know, that back door of Planned Parenthood and shows us what's going on. And so the country should, you know, through the eyes of Abby, have the same kind of experience.
Right. I think Abby Johnson herself said it best when she saw the R rating. She said the MPAA have stumbled backwards into acknowledging that abortion is horrific.
Mm-hmm. So Daryl, tell me about, we know, everybody knows that the TV ads have been blocked, which just makes the whole thing even more miraculous that you could do so well with really no media, you know, promotion getting done out there, except kind of social media, word of mouth. But were the print ads blocked too? Did you have trouble placing print ads for this movie?
Let's see. Through all kinds of Catholic and pro-life organizations, we've done a lot of print work, and of course through our own social, you know, media pages, and then people sharing, which has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. The people that have shared everything we posted, mm-hmm. and then continue to share, and you know, Twitter and everything. So it's really, that's been how the word gets out. But ultimately, it's even that is still grassroots. I mean, it's just so, because we couldn't even show our trailer. You know, we made a proper theatrical trailer to put it in theaters, you know, and mm-hmm. put it in front of other movies and mm-hmm. stuff. But when you get an R rating, you can only put your trailer in front of R-rated films.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, that's not our, you know, it's like what R-rated films were coming out the month before our release that we really wanted to go in front. You know, it just didn't make any sense. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's all been really in some way or another, if you include, you know, social media, word of mouth, that's really how the word got out.
Yeah.
And I think people feel like they need to, it really, not only are they touched by it, but I think they really want to vote with it, mm-hmm. you know, and say this ticket is also my ballot.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm hearing people say that all over. Yeah. But it does really testify to the power of God over, you know, everything we're trying to do. You know, we think we're running things, we're trying to be faithful, we're trying to do our work. But in the end, you know, God just kind of does what he's going to do. And, you know, like we would have thought you can't market a movie without TV, you can't market a movie without, you know, getting advertisements out there to people. And yet, look what happened.
Well, you also technically can't market a movie without any stars in it. And previous to this movie, Ashley Bratcher wasn't really a star. Mm-hmm. I think now she is.
Yeah.
And we sort of uncovered this amazing talent. I mean, she's just fantastic in the movie, I think.
Yes,
I mean,
she is.
She's really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, who sets out to make a hot button issue, you know, non-star independent film and expect it without any ability to advertise it? Mm-hmm. You know, and really, the as far as a testimony to the Lord, the timing of this is all his. We wanted it to come out. First off, we wanted it to come out 3 years ago, and then we wanted it to come out last fall. Well, imagine what would have happened had it come out, you know, 3 years ago. Imagine that, first off, and under a completely different set of circumstances in the country. Mm-hmm. And then even last fall, you know, abortion was not the topic that everybody's talking about and you know, was on everybody's Facebook feed before the movie even came out.
I mean, it's amazing. So, with all this stuff about what happened in New York and Virginia and all these, you know, the heartbeat bills everywhere. And here's your movie smack in the middle of it, kind of really making the conversation very, very relatable for so many people. So that's great. So tell us here, you know, so what's going to, I've heard it's going to, the release is going to expand now. So, because one thing I've heard from a lot of people is it's not playing anywhere near me. What's going to happen now?
Yeah, we're adding upwards of 500 theaters. This week, so hopefully we'll be on between 1,500 and 1,600 theaters this week. And almost every theater that had it last week is, I mean, there's like a fraction of like 30 theaters.
Yeah, you had a per screen average of like $5,000 or something. I mean, it was really good.
Third highest per screen average for the weekend. So,
So people will be able to see it. And so we need people to get out again now and bring more people, go out again, right?
Yeah, and really challenge, you know, people that have a pro-choice mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we tell everybody, look, Abby Johnson was pro-choice until she saw what she saw. Yeah. So, you know, it isn't, yes, we want the people that are pro-life to be encouraged and to see the film and to understand even more so why they are pro-life. But, you know, there's plenty of responses on this, especially after the Variety review. There's plenty of responses of people that went into the movie pro-choice and came out pro-life and had no intention to do that. Almost did it on a dare.
Yeah.
Like a friend took them, like, yeah, right, I'm going to become pro-life. And they saw the film and they're like, wow, you just opened up my eyes. Like, I can no longer just walk around and say I'm pro-choice anymore.
Yeah, no, it is very, very powerful that way. It's hard to imagine anyone just kind of being so hardened to it. But you mentioned the Variety review, so we got to talk about poor Owen Gleiberman. My goodness. What a viciously unfair diatribe. Now, have you had any mainstream outlets write what you consider to be a fair review, or have they all been? Because the ones I've read, you know, it's like the religious press is being great, but the secular press is just, it's like they're not even seeing the movie. It's like they're all just reading a script that they, you know, without even having to see it. I mean, have you seen any?
We just got one great one today. It came out about 2 hours ago, and of all things, the Washington Post.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what we said. In fact, that's what my Facebook feed says. Wow, exclamation point, Washington Post. And then I posted it. So yeah, you should look that one up.
That's good. I mean, I was happy that National Review, because sometimes they can be a little snotty over there. God love them, but they can be. And I was happy to see their review was very, very positive of it too. So maybe that impacted the Post. Who knows? You know.
And we made the Babylon Bee. So come on.
All right.
you know we're doing something right.
Very good. Very good. So so what's going on then? So that as the is there plans to expand the release even further after this week, or you think this is going to top it out?
We would all like to see it get up to 1,800, so we'll just have to see how this weekend goes.
How it goes. You know, so if it's not playing in your theater near you, then go online and buy a theater ticket wherever it is playing so that it can come to your town. If we can get more people out to see it, then they can expand the release. And what a sign to the industry. What a sign to our people today that, you know, there's no limits to what God can do if we all just get on board. So congratulations, Daryl. An amazing thing, and what an amazing project to be part of.
Thank you.
Yes. Do more. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. So thanks very much. This is Church of the Masses Radio, and we will be right back after the hour break, the mid-hour break, and we're going to have the producer, director, writers, Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, the guys who made this movie.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Church of the Masses with Barbara Nicolosi.
Well, hello again, and welcome back to the inaugural episode of Church of the Masses Radio. I'm so thrilled to be here, delighted to have you tune in. And so we are talking today about the movie Unplanned. And if you haven't seen it, you need to get out and see it. It's a tough movie, I have to say. When I watched it, I was at the premiere screening, and I found myself gasping out loud at one point and sobbing. It was very, very compelling. And yet, I knew I had to be there. I knew I had to see it. You know, as I mentioned to Daryl in the last segment, abortion in this country is something that goes on very much behind a door, right? We, in my little town of Glendora here in California, we have a Planned Parenthood clinic, you know, with the little innocuous blue sign outside. And you never think to be driving by of the horrors that are going on there. You know, it doesn't look like Auschwitz. It doesn't have the smokestacks burning and the fences up. And yet, we have these in every, you know, pretty much every community in our country, these places. And I think that this movie pulls back the curtain, very much like what happened for Abby Johnson. She avoided going into the back room. If you haven't read the book Unplanned, you definitely should. You know, she talks about, I just didn't go back there. I was up front, I was selling it, you know, and I stayed in the front. And I think that the movie forces you to look at what's really going on. So you say, well, for pro-life people, why do we need? We know what's going on. Yeah, but you need every so often a kind of kick in the gut to make your prayer be even more powerful, to make you feel even stronger, you know, just the horror of what's going on, so that your prayer, yeah, would rise before God with a new urgency. I know myself, you know, my prayers to end abortion have maybe gotten a little cold. I've been saying them since, you know, 1973, since I was a little girl. But this movie reminded me again, no, we have to throw ourselves on our knees and ask God to have mercy on us is the only answer. And also the whole mystery of the conversion of someone like an Abby Johnson. You know, you say, I mean, she was the youngest director of the one of the biggest clinics for Planned Parenthood in Texas. And, you know, wow, what? How could God get to her? She wouldn't be the person that you would think would ever be able to be turned away from what she's doing. And yet, huh, even 8.5 years in, this was her daily bread that she was making there, you know, her whole livelihood. And yet she walked away from it and then now has become this powerful, powerful voice for the truth. Not unlike St. Paul, right? He said, I was the worst of the apostles. I persecuted the church. And yet St. Paul's story really gives God the credit, right? It's like only God could turn that heart, and it reminds us there. So I think that that you got to go see this movie. It's a tough movie to see. It's very, very well done, though. You know, I'm somebody who is pretty hard on Christian movies. Everybody knows that. I tend to wince through them, but I think they did a good job here. I think they took a very difficult topic and made it relatable. And you know, without using a lot of the kind of things that the industry relies on, like star celebrities, you know, there's no real stars in this movie, but the acting is very good, especially Ashley Bratcher. She's just a great She did a great job with her performance, really inspired. And I think it's the storytelling is clear and compelling, and it deserves to be supported. Hopefully this will be a new bar for a lot of Christian films that they will look and say, wow, we can actually tell a good story using good storytelling method, huh? Good character development, and not giving everything away, leaving the audience some room to have to chew on some things. So there's a lot of unstated things in this movie. There's a lot of moments where the characters, you know, we kind of stay with them and we watch them as they're processing what's going on. And so I found that that's good. One of the things that makes storytelling work is that it preserves a sense of mystery. So the audience has to do its own job, its own work with the story. So I'm supporting this movie. I think they did well with a very difficult topic. I mean, when you talk about an abortion movie, you know, what is the challenges there of doing this? I remember a couple of years ago, I read a script, an early script for the movie Bella, which some of you will remember. And I said to the guys who wrote it, this just isn't getting it done. It's not getting it done in any way that it should be. And primarily, I was worried that a movie dealing with abortion has to use some imagery to give a sense of what is really happening here. We see so many people in movies die, get murdered, end up, you know, getting shot, and it doesn't affect us so much anymore. Blood on the screen doesn't necessarily affect us so much anymore. So the challenge of an abortion movie is, you know, how do we convey that horror that we should feel for this issue? Number two, the challenge is it's not entertaining, is it? You know, a lot of times people bring me screenplays for what I call difficult material. So child abuse stories or sex trafficking stories. And they always have the problem of this is not entertaining. And if you try to make it entertaining, you are now gutting the heart of your project, right? Because you're saying that, you know, I'm going to try to make the three-act structure here prevail, the needs of the audience to be entertained because this is a movie and that's what they do. And so there's the challenge. How do you make something compelling and gripping without making it trite and banal there? And so, you know, I think they handle that pretty well in this movie. They make the characters real. We care about them. And there's a couple moments where, you know, I thought, okay, careful. But that I think they did well with it overall. Yeah, another specific challenge of this issue is how are you going to get people who don't agree with you into the theater? And I honestly, I sat there watching the movie and asking myself that question. This is definitely going to be powerful for pro-life people. It's going to fuel our prayer. It's going to rally us again. But how is it going to get? Is it going to get seen by people who don't agree with us? And it really struck me while I was sitting there. The answer is all the power of God. That like let God do what He's going to do, and He will get the people in to see it, and they will if we pray. Huh? So that's what my prayer is. Find a way for all the potential Abbeys out there to be reached by this film, to people, unlikely people, to walk in and see it. Huh? So we're really, really excited and blessed now to have the men who God used to bring the story of Abby Johnson to the screen here. What a thrill for me on my inaugural episode of Church of the Masses to welcome my two friends for many years now, Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon. Welcome to Church of the Masses Radio.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, and congratulations. I didn't get a chance the night of the premiere to go up to you because of the swarm of fans who were all around you, and I wasn't going to push my way through, but congratulations on a beautifully made film, a very compelling piece. I've just been telling my audience, everybody has to go out and see it.
You know, well, the hand of the Lord.
You know, I don't say it lightly when I say this is a good film.
Wow.
In fact, I don't know if you caught the last segment, but I actually said this could be a new bar for people, for Christian film. I really think that.
Well, we appreciate it.
So where are you guys now?
We're in different places. This only happens about twice a year.
So, yeah, really, only twice a year. I can't imagine one of you without the other, right? But so are you out on the road promoting this thing?
We are actually, I'm sorry. We are in we're in Burbank. We have the office in Burbank. Okay. We're prepping for international.
Okay.
And we're flying teams all over the United States. Cool. And when necessary, we'll fly, you know, and so we're crazy busy.
Sure. Well, you know, let me direct questions to each of you so that we can make sure you both get to say something here. Otherwise, you're both talking over each other. But so tell me quick, Carrie, how did you first get connected to this story?
Megan Harrington walks up to me in we're in the Starbucks in Studio City, and Chuck and I are trying to figure out what we're going to do. And we've got a plan. And that plan is that we're going to make a Western with Clint Eastwood because there was interest to do it. And she gives us a book and says, hey, you should make this book a movie. And we were very nice. And she left and she went on her way. And then I looked at Chuck, I looked at the book, and I'm like, this is a chick flick. There ain't no way we're doing this. So, I mean, we're doing a Western. So we laugh about it. And we're like, yeah, human reproduction. Yeah, okay. Abortion. Okay. Never going to happen. We made the mistake of praying on it when we, you know, in a couple of days later. And I said, Lord, we're making a Western, right? And I knew I was in trouble when I got that pause. And he's like, you can do as you will, but this is what I want you to do.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, man.
Like, not an abortion movie, really.
And I'm like, oh, man, you know, really? Yeah. And so, you know, of course, we had that long speech with the Lord where you try to convince him against his will of what he wants. And we know, obviously, how that worked out. So here we are.
Well, amazing. Amazing you took it on. You know, it's funny because I saw Abby Johnson, I guess, 2 summers ago. And I went to a conference she did. And I went up to her after, as I said, somebody needs to make a movie of your story. And I guess she'd already been talking to you guys because she just kind of looked at me and her eyes, she just kind of like went like, and I was like, what's wrong? You know, why isn't she saying anything? You know, and then sure enough, it was already in the works. So I'm very, very happy about that.
That's
so,
great.
You know, Chuck, I was talking right before you guys came on about, you know, it's tough enough to make a movie, and it's tough enough to make a movie about difficult material. This is, you know, falls in that realm. But what are some of the unique challenges of doing an abortion movie in America today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, which set do you want? The technical, the logistical, the financial, the casting? Which set
Well,
do you
start
want?
With the narrative, right? You know, I mean, because as I was saying, it's tough because you want it to be compelling and entertaining and engaging, but you can't have it, you can't, you know, make it, you don't want to do disservice to the issue. So can you hold it and we'll take you through the next break and answer that question?
Sure.
Thanks, everybody.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet 3 men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Church of the Masses with Barbara Nicolosi.
Hello again, and welcome back to the last segment, unbelievably, of our inaugural episode. Can't believe how fast it's gone. Well, I'm so honored right now to have the writer, producer, directors of Unplanned here on the phone, Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman. Hi, guys. Welcome back. So I asked you a question, Chuck, right before we went to the break. What specifically was the kind of big challenge of narratively bringing this kind of story to the screen?
Well, narratively, to make this thing work, we had to take some of the basic, most basic rules and principles of good storytelling and send them sailing out the window. Because Abby, you know, normally in a film, as you teach your students, basically, usually you've got a character arc and there's growing awareness on the part of someone who's in a difficult circumstance, and they become more and more and more aware, and eventually they make a decision or a change, and they become a whole and a complete person. Abby, in real life and in the story, almost has a reverse arc, an inverse arc. She falls deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, for lack of a better term, into a bad environment. And we have to show that and allow that to occur and still keep her sympathetic and empathetic as far as the audience is concerned. And so, you know, a lot of the key to that was just identifying what the core of her journey was. And the one thing that was always, always true about Abby was that she passionately cared about helping women. That was the one thing that was always true. So, you know, in the depths of the worst thing she did, she truly believed that she was helping women.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, one of the things that strikes everybody who sees the movie is how fairly the people at Planned Parenthood, the people who work at the clinic, are presented. They're not presented as monsters. These are your girlfriends. These are people next door, right? You know, and it would have been so easy to kind of go there, but I know that's Abby's ministry, right, is to say, these are real people. They just need help getting out of this industry. And I thought you guys did such a great job of doing that. And again, that's part of keeping her relatable is, you know, and them all relatable in the story, that we care about them.
Yeah, and in the real world, too, there are locked doors between the administrative staff and the worst of what goes on in the facility. You know, they never see a dismembered fetus. They never see an abortion procedure going on. Abby had been, you know, 8 years with Planned Parenthood. She'd been the clinic director for several years, and she had never seen an abortion actually take place. That was restricted to the surgical chamber, and no one was ever normally in there. And so she was spared for that. She had seen plenty of fetal remains, but, you know, she never really identified with those. It wasn't until she saw a living child struggling for its life, a 13-week-old fetus, and suddenly, you know, she made the connection, oh, my goodness, this is a human being. She had, you know, rationalized herself into a place where that wasn't the case for so long.
Yeah, and I think that in many ways that's a metaphor for America, right? We are all not looking beyond that door. We're all rationalizing what's going on, and your movie kind of compels us all to have to face the truth. So thank you for that. You know, Carrie, when I was a nun, I remember my novice mistress saying to me once, if God could save you any other way than by being a nun, he would. So if God could save you any other way than by being the producer, director, writer of Unplanned, right? So how did God save you in this project?
It's just, we're humbled. I mean, my father is an atheist. He's Jewish. He's 84. He's so far to the left that he's coming around the clock. I mean, the guy, everything is allowed. And he called me one day and he said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm making a movie. And he said, well, send me something. So I sent him a clip. I sent a clip of the barrels, the blue barrels being wheeled out with the baby remains. Yeah. And you got to remember, this is a hardcore pro-choicer his whole life, yeah. Vehemently. Mm-hmm. And 10 seconds, he can't speak.
Wow.
And I said, Dad, are you okay? So I'll call you tomorrow.
Wow.
And he hangs up on me. Mm-hmm. And the next day, what he does is he calls me and he says to me, this movie is going to change the world.
Wow.
He says, what you've done here is you've shown us what we didn't want to see.
Wow.
And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. And so literally, he became from pro-choice to pro-life in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's humbling when you're... That's the hand of God. I mean, there's no way that men could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone who knows a pro-choice person, for the most part, they're vehemently opposed to pro-life. They're fanatical about it. And here, we're having thousands of them reported already
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, all over the nation,
yeah.
pro-choice to become pro-life.
Yeah.
So when you see the works in the hand of the Lord, and plus in prayer... The Lord told us what he was going to do multiple times. We had miraculous healings. We had money drop out of the sky. We needed $1 million in less than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the whole thing was going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy in a jet passing overhead calls us and says, I've been praying, and Jesus told me to send you $1 million. What's your routing number?
Wow.
Unbelievable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Sure. I remember, because we had been talking about it, you know, the summer before, I think, and then all of a sudden you told me, well, we're going ahead. I was like, what? How did that? I figured, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, you'll get the money for this one together, you know, but it just seemed to all of a sudden, wow, you know, and it was very clear there was some kind of divine momentum behind the project.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So,
and you know, it doesn't hurt that we consecrated to Our Lady Guadalupe and to put it under her purview and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just miracle after miracle. But I will tell you the one thing I know. The movie is anointed.
Mm-hmm.
We are humbled. And that we're working in the fields of the Lord. But the Lord desperately wants his people to end abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's doing it by a divine act of mercy. And what he's doing is he's actually just showing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He told us when we first started, don't bias, no propaganda,
mm-hmm.
just tell the truth. The truth will set you free.
Yeah.
And by telling the truth, it's a powerful thing. I mean, everything in this movie, we didn't make any of this up.
No.
Every single scene really happened.
It reminded me of when I saw The Passion, you know, I drove away and I remember pulling off the side of the road and saying, I'm so sorry, Jesus, I forgot. And I felt the same way watching your movie. I was like, I've been praying for an end to abortion my whole life, but not with intensity. And I think your movie reminded me that we have to get on our knees and really, really implore the Lord. So hey, we've got just a couple minutes left here, but give me a scoop for the inaugural episode of Church of the Masses. Something you haven't said anywhere else about the movie, some story from the set or something that happened. Anything there, Chuck, you got?
Well, you know, it's already starting to change culture and law. It hasn't really gotten out. Before the heartbeat bill was passed into law in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
We screened for the state legislature there.
Wow.
And we know it shifted some votes in the Senate. And then on Friday, we were down at NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and they took the vote in the House, and the vote was in favor 92-78, which sounds really resounding. Except apparently you have to get 91 votes, which I believe is half the House plus one. So it won by one vote.
Wow.
And Alyssa Milano, on behalf of Hollywood, has threatened to boycott Georgia, which is nonsense because the studios are still going to go there. They're just going to go without Alyssa if she doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
But the governor, Brian Kemp, has actually asked Ashley Bratcher, our lead actress, to stand beside him as he signs the bill into law.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we've already screened for one other state legislature. We are going to for another, and I don't want to name the country because I don't want to gum up the works, but there's another national assembly that has invited us to come and screen for them in the next 2 weeks. And
yeah.
we're confident that we can start changing these laws, because if these folks, you know, these aren't bad people, even if they're on the other side, if they actually see what an abortion looks like and what it is and what it does, we think we're going to change a lot of votes.
You know, I think that when you read some of the reviews, so I read the Variety review. We were talking about Owen Gleiberman in the first half the hour, how, you know, it wasn't a review. It was a rant. And you do ask yourself when you read that, you know, how could you possibly get through to someone like that? You know, how can we? And honestly, guys, I really think that only the power of God can do that, to get him in to see it. And because my sense is he didn't even really see the movie. I can't imagine. It felt like they were just reading from a script, so many of these reviews, you know. But
right. Well, he wrote a review for the industry, and lots of West of the 405 progressives can read it over their morning coffee and smile and smirk and say, yeah, go get him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've been surprised by our support, too. Mm-hmm. We're over 50% on the limited number of critics. We got a great review today, astounding, in the opinion section of the Washington Post. I almost had a coronary when that came out. And this is not a film review. This is an opinion review. And this is the Washington Post. And I had to, like, pinch myself, like, have I entered an alternate reality? So, you know, we're surprised that those who will not support us, and we're surprised that those who we would expect to be abandoned by or hated by, and they're coming out and saying, you know what, this is a real thing to be thinking about. This is fair and balanced. We should really re-examine this whole issue.
Well,
so it's shocking on both sides.
It is. And, you know, you got to reckon this is an act of heroism, but you guys have made your mark. And when you look Jesus in the face someday, you can just kind of nod and say unplanned. And he'll be like, oh, all right, come on in. And because you've done something brave and heroic, and it's going to be a big part of a lot of people's journey, I think, from now on. So, you know, hey, I'm glad you didn't listen to me when I said you need stars. you know, and so thank you so much, you guys, for doing what you've done here. And I'm going to continue. We're going to be interviewing Ashley in 2 weeks, kind of see where the movie is at that point. But I'm going to be pushing it with my audience. And next week, we're going to be talking to Wendy Wilmowski, who is producing a series of spots on Project Rachel for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And
awesome.
So your project is playing a big part in her getting some attention to her project. So there's going to be stuff like that that you guys don't even know is going on because of your faithfulness. So thank you on behalf of the people of God for what you did.
Thank you, Barbara. One last thing, Barbara, for your viewers, since you're an inaugural debut. No one knows this, but if you look very carefully in the artwork and the posters and all the artwork, we put a Lady of Guadalupe in Ashley's eye on the poster, and there's a Juan Diego hidden in there as well. People can see it.
That's so great. That's terrific.
It's the faces in both cases. It's not a so look for the faces. Yep, she's above him. Right.
That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. Everyone's going to be looking for that now. Remember, people, you heard it first here. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, my audience did. So thanks a lot, guys. We're covering you with prayers. You go ahead here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And wow, this has been a whirlwind. First episode of Church of the Masses. And thank you so much for tuning in. So if you like what you heard, please go support this show. Send a check to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We have a web page, a Facebook page for Church of the Masses. And Virgin Most Powerful Radio has a Facebook page, too. You can go on there and register your support. Also, go to Church of the Masses on Facebook if you have things you want me to talk about, episodes or movies you want me to review. Yeah, write it on there, and we'll see about getting that done in the coming weeks. So thank you very much for being, part of our very first week, and we'll just get better from here on out. So take care. God bless.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.